I think our nation was turned on its head for 3 years based on a completely bogus narrative that was largely hyped by an irresponsible press.
Wow. So true. Hello and welcome to this midweek edition of The Daily Perspective. Little old me, Mark Congleton, I'm your sometimes humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and a bit of absurdity, if I can squeeze it in. And it's good to have you along on this Wednesday, February 5th, 2020 edition of the podcast. It's the morning after the State of the Union address, and it's all anyone everywhere is talking about. It is... It's all over the news shows. People are reacting. People are pontificating. People are lying. Well, it's business as usual in the mainstream press. But what we watched last night, wow. Just wow. I gotta admit, it was one of the best I've ever seen. It was inspiring. It was uplifting. It was motivating. And it was very, very revealing. And we'll get into that when the podcast progresses. Shortly, but not right now. First up, I hope you're doing well. I hope life is good for you and yours, wherever and whenever you may be listening. Thank you so much if you are listening on the podcast, on the live stream, on Facebook Live. It's good to have you along. If you are, listening in some other way, like if you're on the podcast, well, thanks so much. I'm glad you're there. Thank you for joining along, whether you are just a casual listener or a subscriber. And if you're not subscribing, why not? Come on, jump on board, join the fam, and have the podcast delivered right to your mobile device every single day so you don't miss an episode. Hey, some are gems, some are not, but hey, you get them all. It is... It's going to be an interesting day because there's quite a bit to discuss. We will be talking about the coronavirus at some point. We'll be talking about how the mainstream press handled things with the Trump State of the Union address last night. We'll be talking about what was one of the emotional high points of the evening last night, and how that played out. We'll also be talking about how the Democrats behaved themselves. But before we do that, let's move to another topic, and that is the NFL. And okay, this is not about the NFL. This is about the Kansas City Chiefs. The Kansas City Chiefs, Andy Reid, as well as multiple players, have expressed an interest in visiting the White House if invited following their come-from-behind victory at the Super Bowl. Coach Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs are Super Bowl champs after defeating the San Francisco 49ers 31-20. Wide receiver Tyreek Hill said, "That'd be great to go to the White House. I've never been to D.C., so that'd be great." Another player, safety Tyrann Mathieu, said there would be a general willingness on the team to go to the White House. He said, "I'm here to represent the Kansas City Chiefs. I think my teammates feel the same way. Anytime we get the opportunity to represent Kansas City the right way, represent our teammates the right way, I don't see any wrong in that." Cornerback Bashaud Breeland said, "It's going to come. We're Super Bowl champions." He said, "We'll cross that bridge when we cross it. We had to get this game down first, and now we got a trip going to the White House." Coach Reid said, "I haven't thought about that. I mean, I'll be there. So if they're inviting us, I'll be there. It's quite an honor." Last year's Super Bowl champion New England Patriots didn't visit the White House, citing scheduling conflicts. However, most of the team did make the trip in 2017, a few months into President Donald Trump's presidency. The Philadelphia Eagles, Super Bowl champs in 2018, also didn't make a visit, although under different circumstances. In 2018, according to the Washington Post, the Philadelphia Eagles were disinvited by Trump after some players said they would skip the ceremony to protest the president and his rhetoric over player demonstrations during the playing of the national anthem before the games. Last month, the president hosted NCAA champion Louisiana State University Tigers at the White House shortly after their victory over Clemson. Clemson University enjoyed that honor in March of 2019. The Post reported that Trump has not yet extended an invitation to the Chiefs. NFL teams usually coordinate their White House visits to take place during the offseason. Well, good for them. The players and the coach, they're up for it. They recognize the fact that it's an honor. Honestly, it's an honor regardless of who's in the White House. It really is. Going to our nation's capital, being invited by the President of the United States, regardless of who that president is, being recognized for your accomplishment, regardless of who's doing the recognizing, it's a good thing. And when you are being a petulant child and you're saying, no, I won't go because of who's in the White House and because of what I believe he has said, even though he hasn't said the things you believe he has said, then the person who's actually being a bad sport is you. You're not making a stand. You're not speaking truth to power. You're not actually accomplishing anything but showing the world that you are a brat. That's all you're doing. Now, the Eagles in 2018 were disinvited by Trump after some of the players said they would skip because they were protesting the president and his rhetoric over player demonstrations during the playing of the national anthem before games. Those of us paying attention understand what that was all about. It was the whole Colin Kaepernick thing. He was protesting police treatment of black people. And every instance he could probably come up with a remarkable few, if any, were the results of people misbehaving, people behaving badly, people breaking laws, people fighting with the cops, resisting the cops. And of course, they are now a victim class because that's what the progressives do. They make people into victim classes so that they can be their advocates. And Colin Kaepernick jumped on board the victim train and decided to kneel during the national anthem, saying to the world that this national anthem represents a country that doesn't represent me. Well, God love him. He's still not in the NFL. And everybody said it was because of racism or bigotry or discrimination of some kind can just go pound sand, quite honestly. After what he did, the stunt he pulled when the NFL offered him a tryout. They offered him a tryout. He brought in some friends, changed the location, refused to abide by what the NFL wanted, which basically was not to make a huge show out of this about you and your politics. He decided to change the venue and make the show all about him and his politics. And as a result, he's still not in the NFL. Also, someone who was there with him that day, chasing down the ball as he passed it and performing with him, that guy got a break with the NFL. Rutro Raggy. That didn't work out like he expected, did it? So kudos to the Kansas City Chiefs. Hats off to you guys. Good on you for doing the right thing and for having the right attitude. Because it's not about politics, and it's not about pettiness. It's about being a good sport and recognizing the honor being granted upon you, regardless of whether you happen to agree with the administration granting it or not, on political issues. It's not about politics. It's about your performance. And you should, if nothing else, stand up and say, "Dang straight we won. Dang straight wish you'd be invited to the White House, because we're awesome. Yeah, we're coming." That should be how you respond to an invitation. And that's exactly how the Chiefs responded. Good for you. And thank you for being adults. I guess we can't put it off any longer. Oh, before I get into that, hopefully we can wait until the next segment to do that. A little update on my electrical issues at the house. Now, I if you missed the thing, I'm not going to tell the whole story again. The long and the short of it is that the house that my wife and I live in, with it, which also houses the studio, it was built back 43 years ago, back in 1977. And some genius who was putting up siding on the house during the construction of the house during 1977 drove a nail through a bundle of electrical cables in a wall. And nobody knew about it for years and years and years until eventually it began to sputter. And then over this past week, last week, one of the lights in the kitchen refused to come on. And the long and short of it is, I tried everything to fix the situation and discovered a bundle of charred wires in the attic. And it's just, honestly, I am not going to take the chance. So I called an electrician. I got the electrician finally yesterday. I tried before and kept going to his voicemail, but he answered his phone yesterday. And he's supposed to call me back today. And just between you and me, the way things go, I wouldn't be at all surprised if he called during the podcast. So if you hear my phone ring, it's because the electrician's calling back. And we're supposed to set up a time for him to come out today. I told him the story. I told him what happened. And he kept making noises like, ooh, ooh. So it's as bad as I thought it was. But he gets to come out and crawl up in the attic. I told him, you know, in the last year, I've had both my knees replaced. I just can't crawl up in that attic anymore. I just can't do it. And he agreed, no, you shouldn't have to. So he's coming. He's hopefully will be coming out later today and taking a look at the situation and telling me what we need to do and then moving forward. Until then, at night, if we're doing things in the kitchen, okay, fixing dinner. Not last night, but the other night when we were preparing dinner, Jane and I were working on dinner. And since there's no overhead light in the kitchen and there's no overhead light over the sink and the overhead light in the vent hood underneath the microwave is too dim to light the whole room, I had the storm lantern out up on top of the fridge to light the room up so that we could see, which actually does a pretty decent job. Until you look straight at it, and then you're blind for about 5 minutes because that sucker's bright. and then, since that same electrical problem also has taken out the lights on the deck, I have another lantern that I'm carrying out to the deck to cook the hamburgers. So this is how weird it's been. It's not just the kitchen. It's also the dining room and the deck. They're all on that end of the house, and it's just a weird situation. Also on that end of the house is the dining room, the laundry, and where the stove is, and those are all working. Well, I know that the dryer and the stove are both on 220, so it's a different circuit. But hey, all that little stuff, there, some of it is in an area where there's no lights and no power, and the sockets aren't working. One of the sockets is working, but it's not working well enough to power the air fryer, and it couldn't cook French fries until we moved it to a better place. And it's just a weird, weird situation. So we'll see. We'll see what happened. And one of the things I've got to tell this guy today is that for a long time, whenever the microwave would pop off, it would turn off. And now we know why, because of this whole nail through the bunch of wires thing. Whenever it would pop off, I would go to the garage to the breaker panel and flip the breaker back on, and another breaker nearby would pop off. You could not have both of them on at the same time. Well, now we know why. Because those two breakers were connected by a nail, driven by a construction worker putting up siding 43 years ago on our house. And hopefully today we'll have that problem solved. Hopefully. Or hopefully before the end of the week we'll have the problem solved, and we'll all be back to normal, and our wallet will be a little bit lighter. But that's the way things are going to go. Yep. Well, when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about the State of the Union about Nancy Pelosi pitching a fit. We're going to talk about Rush Limbaugh being invited and being presented with an honor. We'll talk about how the Associated Press, the AP, cannot be trusted to tell you the truth. It's been that way for quite some time. We're going to dig into that today. The coronavirus. We'll look at that as well. Did you know that there are two more cruise ships which have been quarantined? Yep. One off of Hong Kong, one off of Tokyo. Two more cruise ships are now quarantined. And more on the other side of this break when this Wednesday edition of The Daily Perspective continues.
There is a fine line between genius and madness.
Yep, absolutely true. Oh my goodness gracious. You know, I'm sitting here. You know, I always do this. I scan social media during the break, and I posted an image to the Daily Perspective podcast page on Facebook, it's getting a little bit of attention. And it's just absolutely fantastic. I just love it. It's a cartoon of the dais at the State of the Union and Nancy Pelosi throwing torn pieces of the speech notes into the air, but she's caricaturized as Cruella De Vil, and her name plate on the desk says Cruella Pelosi. It's precious. It's great. I'm just going to say it. It's great. Oh my gosh. Good morning. It's good to have you along. Good to have you along today. Hopefully, you are having a great day, and that all is well with you. I'm trying to post this thing to somebody. Somebody else has got some stuff up here, and I want to post it there. All right, so that's done. It is a Wednesday edition of the podcast and the Facebook Live show. I hope you are having a great day, and I hope all things are going well with you. And I hope that you enjoyed the State of the Union address last night. And I hope that you okay, that's done. Now I'm not distracted. I hope that you are looking forward to a great day. Let's get back here to where I was. That's it. All right. The State of the Union address last night was one of the most positive, uplifting, motivational things I've seen in a long, long time. There were a couple of points where I actually said, I actually did the Oprah thing. You get an award and you get this and you get that, because it was obvious, and it happens in every State of the Union address. Please don't write me and fuss at me. It happens in every, regardless of who is the president, they invite people and they present things or they recognize them. And at one point it's like, well, somebody's going to get a new car any minute now. But that was just me being the jerk that I am sometimes. Like I said, I'm occasionally humble, sometimes humble. But all in all, what an amazing, amazing State of the Union address. And how amazing is it that in all of the reports of the positive things that are happening in our economy, Democrats stayed seated and refused to applaud. It's just, and people were noting that last night. They were talking about, wow, the Democrats hate success. The Democrats hate the fact that black people are doing better. The Democrats hate the fact that Hispanic citizens are doing better. The Democrats hate the fact that crime is being fought. The Democrats hate the fact that we are the greatest oil producer in the world now. The Democrats hate the fact that factories are being built. The Democrats hate, actually, okay, yes, they do hate that. But the reason they hate those reports of success is because everything they're selling the American people in their campaigns to take away the White House is the exact opposite of that. The Democrats are lying to America, telling people things are worse than they ever have been, telling people that things are going badly, telling people that we're a laughingstock on the world scene, which is the opposite of the truth, telling people all of these lies, telling them things are bad. Why? I've explained this so many times, but here it is again. Without playing the hero, these people have nothing. So if things are going well, they have nothing. They can't succeed unless there are victims. Without victims, they can't be the hero. And so, when a president stands up and says things are great, they're not going to stand up and acknowledge it. Because if they do, they acknowledge their web of lies to the people. That's why they won't stand. Everything they're offering America is a lie. Remember, when you see and hear progressives speak to the public or to the press, and they're pointing fingers at Republicans, they're projecting. Everything they accuse their opposition of doing is what they themselves are actually up to themselves. They are transgressing laws. They are ignoring the Constitution. They are lying to the public. And in order to deflect from attention from that, they point at the Republicans and accuse them of doing that. It happens daily in politics. And when you learn to see it for what it is, it becomes obvious. Well, last night, from American Thinker, from Andrea Widberg, two different events played out on the floor of the House on Tuesday night. The first was President Trump's powerful, moving, uplifting, and optimistic State of the Union speech. The second was the immature, arrogant, intemperate, and really disgusting temper tantrum in which Democrats indulged. The most obvious sign of a complete mental breakdown on the left was Nancy Pelosi's conducting during the speech. Her petulant behavior could not be missed because she was seated behind the president to his left. You're right if you're watching the television. Whenever the camera was on Trump, it was on Pelosi, too. Pelosi's hissy fit first showed itself when Pelosi refused to give Trump the traditional formal introduction. Traditionally, speakers of the House say that it is their, quote, high privilege and distinct honor of presenting to you the President of the United States. However, Pelosi, in grudging and rushed tones, simply said, members of Congress, the President of the United States. Things went downhill from there. When Trump handed copies of his speech to Vice President Pence and Pelosi, Pelosi extended her hand for a shake, but Trump did not extend his hand back. There's much debate about whether it was an oversight on his part or an intentional insult. You can decide for yourself. The video's online. Just between me and you, as an aside, he also didn't shake Vice President Pence's hand. Just between me and you, I wouldn't have shaken Pelosi's hand, and I would have shaken Pence's hand. But then, I'm not the President of the United States, and in that situation, I might have thought better of it and just not shaken either hand. Because Pelosi has been on a waging a war against President Trump since the day he was elected. And she is responsible for what we've been drugged through as a nation. The impeachment process. She's the one responsible for it. Back to the article. As Trump began to speak, Pelosi began to perform a running pantomime behind his back. Rather than listen to Trump's speech, she leaped through the written speech he gave her. She also wriggled around in her chair, sucked her dentures, made disdainful faces, waved to people in the crowd, and generally behaved like an angry 15-year-old girl whose parents have forced her to attend a formal event. It was painful to watch the person who was third in line to the presidency behave in such a childish, rude manner. I don't know if you noticed it. Another aside, please. She also spoke up from time to time, and you could hear her on the president's microphone. You couldn't hear exactly what she was saying, but she was talking back to him behind his back. Being intentionally disrespectful and disruptive, though, was just a warm-up for Pelosi's final act, When Trump's speech ended, she carefully gathered together her copy of the speech into neat little piles, ostentatiously ripped each pile in half, and disdainfully dropped them on the table in front of her. And afterwards, Nancy was even more insulting. When asked why she ripped up the president's speech, she said because it was the courteous thing to do, considering the alternatives. She said that as she walked past the person who asked her. Never stopped moving. The White House tweeted, "Speaker Pelosi just ripped up one of our last surviving Tuskegee Airmen. The survival of a child born at 21 weeks. The mourning families of Rocky Jones and Kayla Mueller. A service member's reunion with his family. That is her legacy." The Democrats seated in the House were just as bad. As Trump methodically went through all of the wonderful things that have come to the American people in the last 3 years, they sat there angry and lugubrious. They refused to clap for record low unemployment, especially for minorities, record rising wages for blue-collar jobs, a secure southern border, shrinking food stamps and welfare rolls, a rising stock market, criminal justice reform, energy independence, beneficial new trade deals, a revitalized American military, vocational studies in high schools, ending free medical care for illegal aliens and, of course, Rush Limbaugh's Medal of Freedom. The Democrats thought they were protesting Trump. That's not what Americans saw. They saw politicians so invested in regaining political power that they deeply resented Americans becoming better off.
Once again, I'm a little disappointed.
Yeah, I think everybody in America is... who has a brain is disappointed in the behavior of the Democrats last night. It is, they put on a show. They may as well have crossed their arms in front of their chests, stuck out their lower lips, and sat on the floor cross-legged and refused to move. It was really that bad. And honestly, there are pictures on Twitter of almost exactly that, minus the sitting in the floor, refusing to move. Arms crossed, lips out, angry, not happy. Bless their hearts. America's succeeding. And when America is succeeding, the Democrats can't win. Because everything the Democrats, as I said earlier, everything they offer is based on victimhood and failure. Everything. There's a little bit left in this article, and I want to get back to it. Let's start that one paragraph over again. The Democrats seated in the House were just as bad, and as Trump methodically went through all the wonderful things that have come to the American people in the past 3 years, they sat there angry and lugubrious. Yeah, look it up. They refused to clap for record low employment, especially for minorities, record rising wages for blue-collar jobs, a secure southern border, shrinking food stamp and welfare rolls, a rising stock market, criminal justice reform, energy independence, beneficial new trade deals, a revitalized American military, vocational studies in high schools, ending free medical care for illegal aliens, and, of course, Rush Limbaugh's Medal of Freedom. The Democrats thought they were protesting Trump. That's not what Americans saw, though. They saw politicians so invested in regaining political power that they deeply resented Americans becoming richer, healthier, and safer. If Democrats were smart, they would applaud what Trump has achieved and promise to do even better. Instead, they keep peddling their dystopian nightmares and promise that once given unlimited power, all will be well again. It's an ugly look. Some folks on Twitter had things to say. Ben Jacobs said, "A small cluster of Democrats, including Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, and Mark Pocan, don't stand for Charles McGee, the former Tuskegee Airman introduced by Trump." Bill Pascrell writes, "I just walked out of the State of the Union. I can't stand a liar. This man's presidency is a national tragedy." Mr. Pascrell, I suggest you go and look at your liberal buddies on Politico who fact-checked the State of the Union, they couldn't find anything to disprove. But yet, they still said they hated him. That fits. Shem Horn said, President Trump, this amazing fourth grade girl will finally get to go to school of her choice. Isn't she awesome? And then there's a picture of the Democrats sitting with their arms crossed. The Cummings bill, by the way, that's when the Democrat lawmakers raised three fingers during his moment of that particular moment of President Trump's State of the Union speech. He was talking about reducing the cost of prescription drugs and health care and the like. And they were talking about the Cummings bill. I think it's H.R. 3 or something like that. I don't have it right in front of me. It's the Cummings bill. And they were actually talking back. They were shouting back at him. Very professional during the State of the Union address. They were talking about the Cummings bill. It's anti-free market. It was basically rent control for medicine. Bad policy. Bad policy, but beloved by progressives because progressives love bad policy. And it's bad because it puts them in control and not the free market. This has been a bad week for Democrats. First, their impeachment effort not only failed, it drove Trump's popularity up. Second, they made a complete hash of the Iowa caucuses. We'll get to that in a few minutes. It was the Iowa caucuses were a joke. This must have caused more than one person to wonder if they're capable of managing a country. And third, they humiliated themselves by behaving like boorish, immature brats. This was not a principled protest. It was a tawdry, ten-eared tantrum. It was despicable. As I've said many times, I firmly believe that one of the plans, one of the things motivating President Trump to do much of what he does is so that the Democrats will react and show America exactly what they're made of. And last night they did. Last night they did. One of the things they refused to stand for was recognizing Rush Limbaugh, who was invited. There are those who were saying, oh, he knew, there's no way he couldn't have known. How dare he act? He was acting surprised. Oh, he was acting. Well, I actually saw a story about it released by CNN. CNN was not invited to the luncheon. You know, the press is invited to a luncheon the day of the State of the Union, and they're told about the State of the Union. They're given their copies of it and the like. But CNN was not invited because CNN has declared itself to be the Trump impeachment network. And so, no, you don't get to come. Sorry. If you're going to be children and can't behave, you can't come to the grown-up table. Well, so there was someone there who let them know what was happening, and they published about it yesterday. So a lot of people already knew. I knew before the announcement was made last night. Conservative talk radio icon Rush Limbaugh was visibly moved when President Donald Trump awarded him the Presidential Medal of Honor during the State of the Union address on Tuesday night. He accepted a last-minute invitation to the State of the Union address after announcing the day before to his millions of listeners that he had been diagnosed with advancing lung cancer. President Trump said in his speech to the nation, "Here tonight is a special man, beloved by millions of Americans who just received a stage 4 advanced cancer diagnosis. This is not good news, but what is good news is that he is the greatest fighter and winner that you will ever meet." After introducing Limbaugh, the president said, "Rush, in recognition of all that you have done for our nation, the millions of people a day that you speak to and that you inspire, and all the incredible work that you have done for charity, I am proud to announce tonight that you will be receiving our country's highest honor, the Presidential Medal of Freedom." He appeared to be stunned and rose from his seat, exhibiting a range of emotions before First Lady Melania Trump, whom he was seated next to, presented the medal and placed it around his neck immediately. As President Trump continued his speech, Limbaugh could not help but admire the medal he wore. According to Daily Caller reporter Henry Rogers, who referred to the scene as a really moving moment. Reports circulated earlier in the day that Limbaugh had been invited to the State of the Union and that President Trump planned to present the radio legend with the Medal of Freedom in the near future. That's what CNN was reporting. He told people at that luncheon sometime in the coming months he would be presenting that honor. Doing it last night was a surprise. A reporter from Fox News caught up with Mr. Limbaugh as he was making his way to the gallery for the president's address to the nation and asked about the rumors he might receive the honor. Limbaugh said, "I'm still in awe." Now, I watched this unfold last night, and my thoughts were, well, there's no way he could not have known this because this guy has his finger on the pulse of the news. He sees everything. He reads everything. He had to know, so how could he be surprised? And then it hit me. His expression wasn't necessarily surprise. It was more likely that he was actually there and this was actually happening to him. I think that's more likely the expression. This is actually happening. This incredible honor was actually really happening. I put myself in his shoes, and if it were me, and I think if it were you, even if you did have a hint, if you had heard rumors, you still wouldn't have thought it was happening to you right then. And I think that was the key, was that Rush, probably like many people like myself who had read an article beforehand, had seen the report earlier, was surprised. Not that he was getting the Medal of Freedom, but that he was getting it on national television at the State of the Union address with millions of people watching. It was really happening, and it was happening right then in front of the nation. Not in some Rose Garden ceremony or White House Oval Office ceremony, but at the State of the Union address. And that was something to be shocked and surprised about. And of course, the people who hate him and who hate Trump had their things to say. But you know what? We can and we should completely ignore them. Because quite frankly, all they're doing is spewing hatred. And all that does is take us down and backwards. It was an interesting night. And as I said earlier, the liberal Politico fact-checked the speech. They couldn't come away with anything major to talk about. But they still hate the man. The Associated Press also did their dirtiest to take the speech down. During the throes of the Senate impeachment trial, the Associated Press has been lying about everything. Actually, this is what they're lying about this time. It's the impeachment trial. And it's another reminder to us that we can't trust the mainstream press. Their analysis of the speech last night is much like their analysis of the impeachment process. The facts don't really matter. The truth doesn't really matter. What matters the most is the progressive agenda and supporting that progressive agenda. And in order to support and push forward the progressive agenda, they have to ignore the facts. The mainstream press, much like the Democrats at the State of the Union address last night, must sit with their arms crossed and their lower lip poked out, denying the reality before them. Because everything they are and that they offer to the public is based on the lies they spread.
Dang it, Toby!
Yeah, dang it, Abby. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. It's the midweek edition of the show. The 5th of February, 2020, the morning after the State of the Union. And I mentioned the Associated Press before the break, and how they're twisting facts about the whole impeachment process. And I'm not going to get deep into this article, but there is an article from Just Facts Daily. You know I like Just Facts Daily. They thoroughly examine everything before they print it. They make sure that they have the facts before they go to press with anything. And they really do. They do exhaustive research, unlike much of the mainstream press. The folks over at Just Facts Daily actually do their due diligence before they report something. And we'll get into the beginning of this, but I'm not going to give you the whole article because there's just not time. And there's something else I want to get to before we move forward. During the throes of the Senate impeachment trial, the Associated Press has published a fact check that claims President Trump is giving a false account and making distorted statements about the circumstances that got him impeached. This Associated Press, this AP article, is riddled with unsubstantiated assertions, gross mischaracterizations, and blatant falsehoods. Furthermore, dozens of news outlets are carrying the AP story, thus multiplying the reach of its information. You see, this is why people like me have been saying for quite some time, just because it says the Associated Press doesn't mean it's true. In an article titled Trump's False Account of Ukraine Episode, AP reporters Calvin Woodward and Hope Yen claim that President Trump's stated motive for releasing the transcript of his July 25 phone call with President Zelensky is demonstrably untrue and easily refuted by the calendar. This is because Trump said that if he didn't release the transcript, people would believe false portrayals of the call, like the one that Democrat Congressman Adam Schiff made during the opening of the House's whistleblower hearing. However, the AP's quote of Trump actually undermines the AP's argument. Trump stated, quote, "I released the conversation because if I didn't release it, people would have said that I made the statement that he made," talking about Schiff. "This guy is a fraud," again, referring to Schiff. Trump's words, particularly the phrase "would have said," revealed that he anticipated his political opponents would mischaracterize the phone call, which is exactly what Schiff did just one day after the transcript release. The AP also ignores the fact that the media outlets had begun distorting the call before Trump released the transcript. For example, 4 days before Trump released it, the Wall Street Journal reported that Trump repeatedly pressured Zelensky to investigate Joe Biden's son during the call, urging him in about eight times to work with Rudy, urging him about eight times to work with Rudy Giuliani on a probe that could hamper Mr. Trump's potential 2020 opponent. Yet the call transcript shows no evidence of pressure, and the claim of eight times is a complete fabrication. The totality of Trump's statements about Biden, which are interspersed with comments by Zelensky, are as follows. First, there's a lot of talk about Biden's son, that Biden stopped the prosecution, and a lot of people want to find out about that, so whatever you can do with the attorney general would be great. Biden went about bragging that he stopped the prosecution, so if you can look into it, it sounds horrible to me. And I'll give Mr. Giuliani a call, I'll have Mr. Giuliani give you a call, and I'm also going to have Attorney General Barr call, and we can get to the bottom of it. I'm sure you'll figure it out. I heard the prosecutor was treated very badly, and he was a very fair prosecutor, so good luck with everything. And finally, I'll tell Rudy and Attorney General Barr to call. In sum, people were misrepresenting the phone call. Trump saw this occurring, and he declassified the transcript to combat these and future allegations. Trump's suspicions were confirmed one day later when Schiff distorted the call during a broadly televised congressional hearing. Now, I'm not going to go any further than this. I'm not even halfway into the article. I think that's enough to give you the gist of what this is about and to help you understand that the AP is misrepresenting, mischaracterizing, and just generally lying about what happened. Why? Because they are towing the line, which has been drawn, either by the progressive press or by the Democrat Party, whoever is leading this effort. It could be either one or both. They're towing the line. And that line is, the transcript is a lie. That's what they're trying to convince people. They're trying to convince people that this official government document is a lie. They're trying to tell people that the White House and the administration is lying to the American public and that they are telling the truth. It's important to them to paint this as all false because that's the only way they can make any progress in what they're doing. But the president, seeing through them and understanding exactly what they were going to do, decided to declassify a classified document and present it to the public to let them see what actually happened on this phone call between him and the president of Ukraine. So there would be no question about his motives, his intent, and his actions on that phone call. And yet the progressive press and the progressive politicians insist on weaving a fabrication in front of the American people to deceive them in order to achieve their goals. We have seen this happen in history again and again whenever progressives are driving a nation towards socialism. This is not the first time this has happened. We know how they behave because we have a historical record. We watch them do the same thing in nation after nation. They demonized the press in Germany. They demonize the press everywhere they demonize the conservative people, the opposition, I should say. They demonize them wherever they're beginning to take over. And what the people in the press have refused to learn from history is that in each and every instance where the progressive movement has succeeded in taking over a nation, the first people on the firing line are the press. Because the press will report what they don't like. And once progressives take over and socialism is instituted and the press prints things that the progressive movement doesn't like, the press gets put into jail. The press goes to prison. The press is executed. It's happened again and again around the world throughout our history. That's something that needs to be remembered. What else? There was something else I wanted to talk about. Oh, the Iowa results. We still don't really know who came out on top because all of the voting results are not in Iowa. Pete Buttigieg is taking the credit for being number one. But the big story coming out of Iowa right now, as things are, without a complete picture, because they botched this so badly, is that Joe Biden came in at number four. Number four. The guy the Democrats have been putting all of their efforts behind. A guy who actually had all of this time while so many of his competitors were in D.C. for impeachment hearings. This guy who essentially almost had Iowa to himself to campaign in came in fourth. Fourth. 62% of Iowa precincts reporting. Former South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg led all the candidates with 26.9% of the state delegate equivalents. Bernie Sanders came in a close second with 25.1. Elizabeth Warren came in third with 18.3. And creepy Uncle Joe at 15.6%. In terms of the popular unadjusted vote, Sanders led narrowly, 28,220. Buttigieg, 27,030. Warren, 22,000. Biden, 14,000. He's still in fourth place. Poll watchers are declaring the race too close to call right now. We still don't have all... By the time you're listening to this, all of it may be out, but... Still, Pete Buttigieg is declaring victory. He did yesterday. And people raised an eyebrow and thought, well, that's a bit premature. Don't you think? It's very interesting that Buttigieg is the one on top in Iowa. It's early yet. I know that. But still, Buttigieg, of all people. Maybe Iowans looked over the field and thought, well, Bernie Sanders is too crazy. Elizabeth Warren is a bald-faced liar. Joe Biden may not be mentally competent to be the president of the United States by the time this is all over. So who have we got left? Pete Buttigieg. The creepy Uncle Joe coming in fourth. Wow. It remains to be seen how this will all spell out, but I'll tell you. The Democrats have got to be in a purple panic by now. I wonder what they'll do. I also wonder if they're trying hard to manipulate things behind the scenes. Why am I suspicious? Have you been paying attention to how they manage things? Remember last time? That's it. See you tomorrow. God bless. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.